Before, the only two places that it talks about really intense battle on high places, other than in the Torah, is with regard to Josiah's Passover and Hezekiah's Passover. In both cases, they were preparations for that Passover. Also, at that, the thing that preceded it was they found the law. Mm-hmm. And the thing that preceded that was long, extended periods of apostasy. And the asset tithe was also collected at this time, either, you know, in and about this time, as we studied the other night in Chronicles, etc. Now, I want us, we have come to a position in the Spirit, in this generation. Now, what I'm going to say is not a light thing, so please, if you don't understand or don't agree with it, speak it, because it has to do with what we are about to do. The book of Amos predicted that there would be a famine that would cover the entire earth. There were 11 famines in Scripture that covered, that were the massive, massive famine. Okay, the 10 famines, I won't go through them, but they're, you know, the two in Abraham, on and on through the Scriptures. The 11th famine is the famine of Messiah, and it's talked about extensively in the Talmud, and it was talked about in the book of Amos. And Amos said there will be a famine in the land, but it's not of bread. It's the famine of hearing the Word of God. I believe that this generation is in that famine, and that this generation is dying spiritually. Is everybody in agreement with that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I believe that we are the most fortunate people on the face of the earth because we found the law.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because of that, we have massive responsibility in the Spirit. We've not done this before. We played on the high places. I mean, what we've done thus far is playing compared to what real high place activity is. I don't care how bad you think the hot seats have been. It's been spiritual playing.
Yeah.
It's true. Because, you don't want to know why?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It's next thing you know,
it's
like everybody say amen.
He's going
to
trick us.
The reason is, whether you can believe this or not, is I've been too gentle.
Well, with some of them you have.
What?
With some of them you have. I'm so bad.
I'm not going to pray. You think I'm kidding?
Can anybody understand what I'm saying? Getting beyond the humor? How many of you are still living in law, in cause and effect? All of you. How many are still justifying themselves constantly every time you're confronted with a stimulus that's negative to you?
Well, if you understood the pressures I was in.
Thank you. we're at the point, as in the stealth group, I mean, and you cannot teach any farther than you have gone. You're at the point in the stealth group of confronting and walking up and sneaking over and looking at the walls of Jericho. You understand? You've come a long way in the spirit. But from God's standpoint, unless this distance between Jericho and Jerusalem is covered, you have come nowhere. I'm not kidding.
What does Jericho represent?
Walls of separation.
You say, come on, look over the walls into Jerusalem?
No, we're at Jericho.
Yeah.
And you're... Some of you are still on the other side of the Jordan looking over, and you can see the walled city up there. Nobody's seen Jerusalem yet, except God gave you every once in a while a moment of light. There's only one thing that's keeping you from proceeding. As long as I'm alive, we are not going to stay where we are, and we're not going to we are not going to stay in Kadesh Barnea any longer. We've left it. We can never return there. I mean, as long as I'm alive, as long as I'm able to talk, I'm going to push and take us until we enter Jerusalem and sit on the mercy seat, never again to move. All the promises of God are in Him, yea, and in Him, amen. Now, not tomorrow. There is no more excuse in this body of people for the sloth, for the usury, for the murder, for the bribery. That's evidenced in your daily lives. Now, God had to take one from our member and take a buzzsaw and cut his chest open and take his heart out of his body and cauterize it in order that you might see the hardness of your own hearts. Now, we must be exclusively about the Father's business. Nothing else. You must have a readiness to revenge all disobedience in an instant, in a quicker than that 1/10 to the 23rd of a second. There is no more excuse for waiting 6 months before you speak. There's no more excuse for waiting 3 months. There's no more excuse for waiting 3 minutes. There's no more excuse for waiting 1 minute. There's no more excuse for waiting 1 second. Unless prophecy is bubbling forth in a river from you as a vessel, then we are as if we still were in Egypt, because you are still walking with the wrong covering. We cannot do what we have been called to do until the obedience in this body has been fulfilled. The gentleness on the hot seat only represented a my lack of courage. Knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. We have entered into realms, spiritual realms, that have not yet been dreamed of by the body of Christ at large, or those that name his name. And we have realms yet to enter that we haven't dreamed of. And that which is confronting us now in the spirit is Jericho. And we either proceed or we go back to Egypt. That's the only option. I'm not going back to Egypt. I'll go there to rob them. I'll go there to use them. I'm not going to live there. From everything that I know about spiritual life, from everything that I can discern about that which is the perfect will of God, this nation, this world, this people that name the common name of Christ are in such a state of apostasy that they have mixed themselves so totally with the world system and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans that they cannot see that the truth has fallen in the streets. Now, before we can say anything, we have to have fulfilled our own obedience. We have to walk in the light that we have. The light that we have means that we will never again be satisfied with you spending more than a split second outside the camp. If you spend a split second outside the camp, then Christ died in vain. And there's no life. Am I a hard taskmaster? No. Again, I don't want to put you on a trip. I just want you to understand something.
Too late.
That... Can you all agree with me that we must be about the Father's business only?
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Can you all agree with me that you must set your face as flint to go up to Jerusalem, not to visit, but to live permanently, never again to leave?
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I'm saying. You agree with me? Forget, you know, you've all of a sudden you've gotten extremely subjective. When I said the hot seats have been gentle. No, you have, right?
Yeah.
Because you believe at that instant, now he will leave me nor he will leave me and forsake me. You won't say that because what you'll do is you'll blame it on me. But what you're saying is that God is gonna leave me or forsake me, and Ole's gonna kick my ass.
Well, you haven't said you're even going to do that, right?
I know exactly what I expect.
Okay.
Yeah. You haven't mentioned anything in the future. You've just been talking about the past.
Yes. I'm just going to say that if he was sufficient for you up to this point, he's sufficient for you up to every point. Don't project yourself into that.
Amen.
Was
well,
he?
It's not so much this. I think...
That's why you're
you know, it's like sometimes I hear you saying, God has already left you and forsaken you when you're looking out this way. You know, that it wasn't... Whatever was done before was not only was it ridiculous, but it was.
When I was a child, I spake as a child. I acted as a child. When I became a man, I put away the childish things. All I'm asking us to do is to continue to let those childish things, which in the spirit are the chaff, to fall away.
I guess I like it whenever if I think we go up together to Jerusalem to face all of it, as opposed to, you know, and they, you know, sent out to this, do this jungle warfare service on my own, you know, that I'm totally inadequate to do that.
Okay.
My mind went it was 100 million miles an hour and immediately said, okay, fine. The only people in this room that are going to be subjected to a hot seat with you are Pete and I. And that means I'm the only one in this room that's going to get his ass kicked. The rest of us are going to be doing hot seats. I went through a hole.
By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not. And she had received the spies with peace. Do you know, what the Talmud says about Rahab? Is fascinating. The Talmud says Joshua married, that Rahab became a proselyte and then married Joshua, which is a fascinating
thing. That is. That is.
Good for Joshua.
Wow.
And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms. You see, I think some of you up till now have been a respecter of persons. You've believed your Sunday school teachers when they talked about Bible heroes. You are the Bible heroes. And you will duplicate anything and everything that is ever described in here. That's your calling.
Amen.
Greater things than these shall you do. That's what Christ said about you. Now, you may not trust me, you may not like me, you may think I'm a bastard, but I have to be faithful to what I see. And you have to study to see whether these things be true. And by God in hell, if you spent 12 years with me now, or 13, or 4, however many years, and you still don't know it's true, if you spent all that time with me, and still don't trust me, and it's from a spiritual standpoint, then you're fools. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy, nor is it now. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who instead of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint as cowards in your mind. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You've been, I just, poor little shit, Barbara, got chewed up last night. Because she was satisfied to stay, even for a moment, in a position of sloth. You have not yet resisted unto blood in striving. Do you understand it? To take anything into a position without seeing the efficacy of the blood is to not yet resist unto blood. This, you, people yell at me because I always push people to the edge. This pushes people so far more to the edge than I've ever done that it isn't even worthy of comparison. Of course, this is one of the great ignored scriptures in the Bible, too. You have not yet resisted unto blood. It doesn't mean the shedding of your blood. It means the seeing and the experiencing of the efficacy of the blood of Christ and that power for every situation that you could possibly dream yourself in. No more sloth. Am I communicating?
Mm-hmm. Warriors.
Now, I've told you lately, over and over and over and over again, that I cannot, nor is my job to, teach you anything except to push the soul to the point of the spirit. So that you have all of your senses exercised to discern soul from spirit. Now, whether I've done a good job or not, whether I've been too hard on you or not, it's not my business to judge. But we came into this world in violence. The kingdom of God suffereth violence until now, and the violent take it by force. Now, the things that preceded this, these Passovers that were described in Josiah as the greatest Passover that ever took place, were the finding of the recognition of the state of the rest of the world, that it was in a state of total and complete apostasy. The recognition that there was no other place that they were aware of that they could go. The finding of the law . The destruction of the high places, and then, interestingly enough, the asset tithe and the first fruit offering. When that was accomplished, whether it was in Hezekiah's time, Nehemiah's time, Josiah's time, or the Book of Acts time, then great fear came upon all the people, and great power was given them for the witness of the resurrection. Is there anybody that cannot amen what I've said?
What you're talking about is about the high place stuff is what we read the other night in Acts about, and they had all things in common, and no man said that
all things he owned was his own.
That's what we're talking about.
But it's not just, it's everything. We recognize.
I mean, the high place. You know, I can say amen.
I didn't quite understand what you just said.
Well, it was the idea that you don't have anything of your own in the high place, you don't have anything of your own of the physical possessions, that none of the things that you own are your own. They've all been necessary, but only when talked about to fill up the affliction that is lacking in the body of Christ. That each one of you, genetically and experientially, to this point, have been justified in your sloth, justified in your disobedience, justified in the hardness of your heart, justified in the heresies that you walk in, justified in your apostasy, because the high places have been permitted. In other words, there's not been a mistake made.
We're okay at that. That's the real thing about Ananias and Sapphira. Everything was laid at the feet of the apostles from the high place, and they held back.
Some of you really don't believe what I'm saying, and that's all right. Some of you don't believe that you will subdue kingdoms. That's all right. You can't step in a place that you haven't. You can't experience or believe something that you haven't
tasted.
Somewhat.
So, I said all that to say this. Well, let me. The process of the passing under the rod hasn't begun yet, as you understand. Mm-hmm. All we've done is...
You've gotten stuff ready to pass.
You've gotten the flocks in the same pen. Okay. Tomorrow, I'm going to pass Bloom under the rod, Bloom and Paula. And then he's going to pass me under the rod. I'm the poorest. John is the richest. So, this hasn't been done. I can't find the last time this has been done since the Talmud.
Well, Acts.
That's what I said. Since the Talmud.
Yeah.
We're going to do it. I don't know how it's going to do. I don't know what form it's going to take. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, you feel what we're about? It's like, you remember the first time we ever talked about high place? Remember the, well, let's go back further. Remember the first time I ever told you that the essence of sin was, or that the essence of sin was to take thought for yourself in any dimension? I mean, this was like 1976. You remember when we started talking about the meaning of the cross instead of the meaning of what you thought the cross and religion was? Do you remember when we talked about, for the first time, high place activity? You remember, I mean, there's 100 things like that. I had absolutely no role model. I had no idea what to do. I had no one to talk to in case I had no one to chew me out, which is a biggie. I had no one, no role, no way to go, no certainty, no one to double check me, nothing. In 101 areas or more that we now take for granted. Now, you have a lot of things that I didn't have. Use them. You know, it doesn't make them right, wrong, or indifferent. Just use them like tools. This thing on the asset tie, on the first fruit offering. There's no way to do it in this generation. There's no. How do you do it? What does it mean to pass under the rod? Well, we'll find out. I mean,
is
kind of like everything else. I mean, it's not the idea that you're going to do it right or wrong. It's the idea that you're going to take the risk, and then, you know, and then you're able to discern spirit then, but not until then.
Yeah.
And I mean, maybe you do it wrong the first time.
What's that scripture? Was it Hezekiah or Josiah or whoever said that? Something like that. Like we may be doing it wrong, but yeah, at least forgive us.
Yeah. You know, there's so many things I wished I'd.
When I think about this as a thing that's going to happen, I get nervous and funny about it. But when I think about the people in my group, I don't get nervous and funny about it. And when I think, you know, here are these people who need to see who Adam is in each of their, you know, and they'll just die if they don't see it. They just slough away and die. And I have no doubt God will do something.
You understand that, let's talk for a minute. 2 Kings 21.
That's what I taught on last time.
Me too.
Hezekiah just died. Okay, Hezekiah had a good Passover. He found the law and everything was good. And then what happened? Hezekiah died. And who, you remember who took his place? Manasseh. What did Manasseh do?
Made a mess.
Manasseh set up the worship of the golden calf inside the temple. You understand how each one of you have set up the worship of the golden calf inside the temple? You understand how Joysanna and Darlene and Judy and Larry and Harry and Gary and Oli and John and Pete and Doug all have spent a lifetime worshiping the golden calf? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have refused to see that until... You know, this thing that we're going through was what happened with, you know, of being sent into Babylon and all that. You know, it's the thing I've always, you know, every time you'd say something like that, I keep, what I want to say is, no, but all this stuff, you know, it's because like, I mean, it happened to Israel.
Okay, watch. 21. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he reared up altars for Baal, and made a grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel, and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem will I put my name. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he made his son pass through the fire, and observed times, and used enchantments, and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. Do you understand that it's impossible for you to be in a state of rebellion without being in a state of sorcery? Mm-hmm. Or witchcraft? If you're not in the moment of obedience, by definition, you are in witchcraft and sorcery. If you take yourself out of that singular moment of now and put the covering of your mind on the arena, then you, by definition, have to trust in sorcery, because you will take a little bit from here and a little bit from there and a little bit from there, and you'll mix up together and have a plan. You...
are just beginning to see the depth of your evil. That state of moving away from the moment of abandonment to a position of thinking about it is called witchcraft. It's called sorcery. That's all the activity of the high place. That's all you do on the high place is sorcery. Witchcraft. That's what the human race is doing on the high place. It doesn't matter if they're in God's name or in Bruce's name. All right. And he made his son pass through the fire and observed times and used enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards, and he brought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him. And he set a graven image of the grove that he had made in the house of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon, his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers, only if they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. But they hearken not, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake by his servants the prophets, saying, because Manasseh king of Judah hath done these abominations, and hath done wickedly above all that the Amorites did, which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols, therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, and whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall kindle. Well, anyway, then you find out. All kinds of stuff happens. Okay, now we come down. And Manasseh dies, and Josiah is 8, and I'll go down to 22:8. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. Now, if any of you have heard anything that we've taught on with regard to the meaning of the book of Leviticus, if you haven't rent your clothes in the spirit, if you haven't torn the flesh, the garment, you're in deep shit. If you're still walking and give credence to walking in that manner that you did in Egypt or in the wilderness even, then you haven't heard. All right, so now we've rent. Can everybody agree that we've all rent? We've heard the law, we've rent. We said, oh shit. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam the son of Shaphan and Akbar the son of Micaiah and Shaphan the scribe and Asahiah, a servant of the king, saying, go ye, inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all of Judah concerning the words of this book that is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according unto all which is written concerning us. So Hilkiah the priest and all of them went unto Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shulham, the son of Tikvah, before Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. And she said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto their gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. but to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender. Torn with grief. And thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and as rent thy clothes, and what before me I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets, and all of the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. Now, remember what that is? Remember we've talked about when they say they read the law? They didn't read the whole five books. They read what? Exodus 19 to Exodus
23.
Remember? Okay. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all her heart and all her soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book, and all the people stood to the covenant. In order for us to do in knowledge what that book says, we must, by definition, abandon ourselves. We must therefore exclusively walk only by faith. You understand me? The moment we walk and return back to self-seeking or cause and effect, what have we done? We have made the covenant of God or the cross of Christ of none effect. You got it? And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priest of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, the grove, and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priests, whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places to the cities of Judah, and in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun, to the moon, to the planets, and all the host of heaven. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem into the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the men and women, where the women wove hangings for the grove. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah, and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense, from Geba to Beersheba, and brake down the high places, the gates of the gates that were in the entering of the city, were in the entering in of the city of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand, etc., etc., at the gate of the city. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread among their brethren. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. And he took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the son at the entering in of the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathanmelech, the chamberlain, which was in the suburbs, and behind, and burned the chariots of the son with fire, and the altars, etc., etc. I don't want to read all that. And then the Passover was restored. And surely there was not holden such a Passover from the days of the judges, etc., etc., etc. Now, if you read in Hezekiah or in Ezra, you find out, and I didn't read the other thing in this one, but it also talks about that he accepted all the tithes of all the people. At the time of the reform, I know you never believe me when we talk about the destiny or the cosmic aspects of this. But you will. Be prepared and anticipate great things. despise your own disobedience.
Yeah.
Despise it. Consider it as nothing. Turn from it. It's vomit. So from now on until Passover, we will be doing exclusively the getting ready for Passover. So that we can say with Josiah that never has there been such a Passover. Amen?
Amen.
Now, you may not believe it, just as I didn't when we started this process. I had no concept that I could even teach or think about teaching. I certainly didn't believe I could ever preach. I had no idea that the things that we've worked out in us could have ever been worked out. I would have said to you, it's impossible, just as I know you say to yourselves, it's impossible for me to do this. God will perform that which he hath appointed you to do. You just present yourself as a living sacrifice. You convince the people that they have but one function, one vocation. That's to be about the work of the Father. You convince them that that form that will take and the fruit of the obedience will be the transfiguration. And for us, we must set our face as flint to go up to Jerusalem and never leave that place once our foot is at the point of the mercy seat. Amen?
Amen.
Take a big guy. Here's, wait a minute, I gotta do a little barber stuff.